Mike Bledsoe here, CEO of the Shrug Collective. Today, we bring to you a new show, Feed Me, Fuel Me, hosted by Jeff Thornton and Mike Landers. As we're expanding what we offer, traveling to great guests, and introducing you to the best content, we have partnered with amazing companies that we believe in. We talk and hang out with the founders and owners of these businesses. Not all products are created equal, even if it looks like it on the surface. We've done the research and have been in the industry long enough to see what really works and what will make the biggest difference for you long term. With that being said, one of my favorite companies, Thrive Market, has a special offer for you. You get $60 of free organic groceries plus free shipping and a 30-day trial. ThriveMarket.com/feedme. This is how it works. Users will get $20 off their first three orders of $49 or more plus free shipping. No code is necessary because the discount will be applied at checkout. Many of you will be going to the store this week anyway, so hit up Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/feedme. Enjoy the show.
This is episode number 83 of the Feed Me, Fuel Me podcast with our special guest, owner of Clear Insight, Julie Farha. Welcome to the Feed Me, Fuel Me podcast. My name is Jeff Thornton, alongside my co-host, Michael Anders. Each week, we bring you an inspiring person or message related to our three pillars of success: manifestation, business, fitness, and nutrition. Our intent is to enrich, educate, and empower our audience to take action, control, and accountability for their decisions. Thank you for allowing us to join you on your journey. Now let's get started.
Hey, what's good, crew? Welcome to episode 83 of the Feed Me, Fuel Me podcast. Thurs and Jeff coming at you from Scottsdale, Arizona with Julie Farha. She is an intuitive clairvoyant. And for those of you who don't know what it is, I made sure to clarify with her before we got on the air. The way I explain that is she can't tell you your future per se, but she can point out the forks in the road that can potentially be coming your way. I know Julie from my time at the Village right after I got out of the Marine Corps. She took my spin class once or twice, and we just so happened to reconnect up in Telluride when I was up there with my family. And a little known fact about Julie and I's relationship, way back when she caught me in the coffee shop, I think I was nose deep in a textbook work as I was working on my master's, and she kind of just conversationally gave me a reading. And here we are 5 years later. We connect up in Telluride. And, you know, I'd been wanting to call you so many times over the last 5 years to tell you that everything that we talked about in the coffee shop that day has happened or is happening at this point in my life. And it's insane. But for everybody, we'll dive into a little bit of that here a little bit later. But for everybody who doesn't know who you are, where you're from, and how you became who you are, can you kind of give us the cliff notes of your journey up to this point?
Sure. Happy to do that. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Happy to have you.
I am originally from Wichita, Kansas, actually, and from a Middle Eastern family, went to Catholic schools, your typical Midwestern upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I was around 8 years old, I was telling Durs this story that my mother had said to me one day, Aunt Marlene is coming in town. And that's usually an exciting bit of news because we loved this aunt and her family. They were a lot of fun. And it was always exciting when they were coming to town. So I remember having a very different response to that news that day. I got a very funny feeling, and it felt like, no, she's not coming. And I actually had a physical sensation in my stomach when I got that answer. Didn't really give it much thought. And then the weekend comes along that Aunt Marlene was supposed to come, and lo and behold, she did not show up. Mm-hmm. That was my first recollection of having the ability to have some information that wasn't told to me and receiving it in a unique way. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really cool. This is kind of different. I think I'm going to use it to help people someday. I don't know what it is, but it's really cool. So then fast forward throughout my childhood, I had a few other little experiences like that here and there and didn't really give them much thought. Then in my early 20s, I started my own journey of personal growth, spiritual growth, you know, self-discovery as I'm making my way in the world out of college. I actually went to ASU. And that's when I started realizing, oh, this is intuition. I have a heightened intuition. Some may call it psychic, whatever you want to call it. And then I began to realize how my intuition worked for me. Everyone has intuition. For some, it's more natural. For others, it's a skill you can learn. And it works a little. It can work a little differently for everyone. So I learned how mine worked. I learned what it felt like, how to interpret the information I was receiving, and how to apply it to my life and to use it to help other people with their own need for guidance and direction and answers, actually.
It's wild. Like, if you've never had a reading, you know, it, or if you, the best way I can equate, like, what it could feel like for those of you who don't know, if you went and got your palm read, and then you just went on about your life, and you never kept that as a conscious memory, mm-hmm. and then out of nowhere something happens to you, and you're like, holy shit, the palm reader told me that this is gonna happen, and it kind of just validates the entire experience. You know, when you gave me that reading, I didn't even know you were reading me, honestly. I thought we were just having a conversation. You were just like, you know, a lot of the dialogue that we had was, you know, I sense this about you. I feel this. You know, it's a very sensory conversation. Mm-hmm. And how is that gift for you? How heavy is that gift? Because I feel like, you know, whoever you come in contact with. I mean, you spent 2 minutes with Jeff before we got on the air, and you were like, are you a Virgo? You're really grounded. Whatever you're doing right now seems really muddy. Oh, I'm trying to get this off the ground. It's just like all these, you like pass through all these filters almost immediately with people that you just meet and people that you connect with. And like, does that come in levels for you? I'm asking you 10,000 questions
now.
But
that's okay. Well, first, let me just say, I don't do that automatically with people, so I don't want anyone to be uncomfortable about that. But I got permission for them when I got here to do that. So when you said sensory, that was a really good way to put it, because I'm very kinesthetic. I don't see things like some people see auras. I don't see them, but I feel them. Mm-hmm. So when I'm getting the information, it's literally a kinesthetic sensation. And I use that to guide me, excuse me, to what the information is. It's like a big ball of yarn everybody comes to me at, and then I find a piece to pull out and go from there. And it can happen automatically when I come in contact with people, but I've learned to tune it out, mm-hmm. and shut it down a little bit, because A, it's not, if someone isn't asking me, it's rude to do that, to read someone. It's intrusive, it's arrogant, it's just not, it lacks integrity.
Sure.
So I make a conscious effort not to do that when I can, and sometimes it just happens and I simply just dismiss it.
Mm.
But it can get a little weighty. Sometimes I'm told things that are a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it comes with being very kinesthetic, can also have a sense of empathic ability to it. A lot of people, mm-hmm. are empathic.
Sure.
You are empathic, by the way, Jeff.
And what's empathic?
What that means, yeah. is you are able to absorb other people's emotions and energies.
Mm.
And it's a gift, yet it can also be a challenge in the sense that you have to know where you end and other people begin. For example, you all can't see my hand gestures on this thing, I know. But so I am putting my hands around me like a bubble. So like where your bubble, for example, for a visual, ends, where your space, your energy bubble ends, and other people begin, because people infiltrate that with their own energies and emotions. It's automatic. It's not something they intend to do. Mm-hmm. It's just something that happens, and you have the ability to absorb that. So if you don't know where you end and where they begin, you can get really overwhelmed with other people's stuff.
Mm.
And that can also happen being kinesthetic and reading people or automatically reading people. So
sure.
The more it with time and practice, I've learned to stay in my own bubble. I stay more grounded. I have my own practice every day that I do to keep me in that space so that I don't get overwhelmed by the information that I get.
Mm.
So
interesting. And what are some of the signs that you read when you're working with somebody, like, or does it switch from person to person? Like, is like the physical traits or the way they speak or deliver a message, like,
you mean how do I get it?
Yeah, how do you get it? Like, do you hear like tentative and like people's voice get tentative when they speak, and you're like, oh, like for instance, when I mentioned the business, like, oh, it sounds sort of muddy. Was that just the way, like, the inflections or?
No, it had nothing to do with you.
Okay.
With what you said, yeah. I should say. Let me clarify that. Okay. It had to do with when you mentioned it, I felt this energy come through.
Ah.
And then I have to decipher what that means. I have to interpret what that means.
Mm, that's interesting.
And it just felt muddy.
Ah.
So sometimes it might feel, if you're really in the flow of it, it will feel like a flow. It'll feel like a light movement. You're not quite there yet because it's beginning.
Yeah.
So that's just a natural state for you to be. And this is what I do when I'm working with people is illuminate these things so they can understand why things are the way they are, so they can take this information and change what they can, accept what they have to, and tools to do both of those things if necessary. It's like my information is simply magnetic north. You're holding the compass, and you do what you want with it.
I just
give you the whole map.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And so you get an understanding of things in ways you didn't know before.
Yeah.
And some nuances that you didn't know that really help you have a full picture.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's simply a matter of just pulling back and waiting a bit. Sometimes that information just gives you that kind of answer.
That's interesting. Yeah. And does energy have weights to it? Like
very much so.
Really? Mm-hmm. And what's that feel like to you when you...
Ugh. No, that's a good question. That was my ugh. a friend of mine was asking me yesterday, this young lady she's close to is in a new relationship, and she's like, I don't get a good feeling about this guy. No, she didn't even tell me that. She said, I want to get your read on this guy. And so she just gave me his first name. And I had this very heavy feeling in my solar plexus, in my stomach area, that which to me I interpret as, this guy's not up and up. There's something to be cautious. I can't always tell specific details. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can physically feel heavy. But that's how I determine what the information is.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy doesn't necessarily mean bad. It can also mean no. If someone's asking me a yes or no question, it can be no. It can be inaction. The light, the warmth, the movement feeling is more of a, it just gives me different information.
Right.
Like my girlfriend yesterday, she's having her sales meeting, a national sales meeting this week, and she was asking me, she said, hey, I'm up for this potential award. Do you think I'm going to get it? And it felt very light. And it felt very light to me. I was afraid to say yes because I really wanted it for her and I knew she really wanted it. So I just said, well, it feels like it's really possible. I was rather vague, but that was my own personal attachment to that. So, and she actually won.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
And is the, like, how you mentioned it was in your solar plexus, did I say it correctly?
Mm-hmm. Solar plexus,
stomach. When you felt it, that energy, does it happen anywhere, like any other sensations around your body or any other extremities?
That's a good question. Okay, so... It varies. Sometimes I feel it. When I'm teaching people how to use their intuition, which is sometimes what I do, I tell them your intuition speaks to you in three very specific areas. You'll get a physical sensation in your solar plexus, your chest, or all over.
Mm.
For me, it varies, and sometimes it just all kind of comes at me at once, and so I got to figure it out. So it just varies.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a little bit vague, but that time I felt it here. Sometimes I feel it all over.
Right.
Sometimes I just get the little nuances and pull them out and read them and interpret them.
Just being able to decipher that message.
And something I've had to learn, part about the intuition training is you learn the difference between your emotion, your intellect, and your intuition.
Right.
Because they all feel different, and they're giving you different information. When I'm reading for someone, sometimes your emotion is what you want. Your intellect is what you should do, what you need. When I'm reading for someone, what I want for them sometimes can interfere. What I think they need can interfere.
Sure.
But it feels different. I have learned to recognize when my own attachment to that person I care about is really what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
That information is motivated by that and not really my intuitive or psychic ability. So when I recognize that now very quickly, it doesn't happen very often anymore, then I just take a few breaths and get back into center, and then the truth comes through.
Sure.
And I can put that aside. But that feels different too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you feel kind of this almost a first responder type of responsibility where, you know, if you're having a conversation and, you know, there's just that solar plexus, like red flag spider sense thing going off. I know you don't impose a reading on somebody, but do you ever, you know, rather fervently request that their permission to read them so they can get some information that may like assist in an immediate need that they may not see coming?
It varies. Do
scenarios like that present themselves?
There has been a couple. With close friends, I do. Mm-hmm. There's a fine line, too, between playing God, is how I put it.
Sure.
So I had an experience a year and a half ago where I got a very strong, unique message that has never happened to me before, that a tragedy would befall some people that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I dismissed it because I, A, didn't want to know. B, I couldn't say, hey, by the way, something may happen, because that's too vague.
Mm-hmm.
And what if I'm wrong?
Sure.
So I just, you know, wished for the best and put it aside. And 2 days later, I got a phone call about a major tragedy that happened to this family.
Oh, my goodness.
And that doesn't happen very often, uh-huh. fortunately, because that doesn't help me help them.
Right.
So I'm glad I don't get that a lot, because I don't know what I would do if that happened on a mm-hmm. regular basis. But the point to my comment is I wouldn't know what to say to them to help them prevent something. And sometimes it's simply information.
Right.
I had one lady I was working with one time tell me that she's afraid to follow her own inner guidance, because years ago she had her husband and her two sons wanted to go. They lived up north somewhere, and they wanted to go snowmobiling on ice or something,
mm-hmm.
and she had a very bad feeling about it, and they were all like, no, we're fine, it's not a big deal, there won't be a problem, but she still had a very bad feeling about it,
mm-hmm.
and they went, and her sons were killed.
Oh my goodness.
Oh gosh.
So sometimes there's nothing you can do about it, it's just simply information.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's a discomfort with that, but you take mm-hmm. you take that with the good that comes
sure,
out of it.
Sure.
It can be a little exhausting, though.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So at what point in your journey did you decide that, you know, I mean, you obviously discovered very early that you had this gift, but at what point did you decide that you had a responsibility to make this a career?
That's a good question. I've always helped friends and family with this. And, you know, it was a bit of a struggle for me to actually make this as a career, because it is to me a gift and a higher calling and all that, mm-hmm. and yet asking for money in return. That was a little bit of a leap. I think that's very common when people do what
sure.
I do and they have certain gifts, but yet it's an energy exchange that needs to take place.
Mm-hmm.
I give you this, you give me this, whatever their exchange may be. So there's an integrity in there that I've learned more. It's more about integrity than actually exploiting something,
right.
you know, for money. But I started doing it for money really just about probably a few years before you and I talked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And how is business?
Suddenly just crazy. I mean, it usually goes in waves, you know, there's mm-hmm. kind of ebbs and flows, because
yeah.
people don't come to me every month or every week. They come to me as needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you need me every week, well, then you're not doing your own work. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, and
sure.
then we got to talk about that. So,
right.
But lately, it's just been booming. Last year was a really difficult year for a lot of people. It was mm-hmm. a year of transition in very unique ways for people.
Mm-hmm.
And because I feel that this year we're moving into a new way of living and a new way of being. And so everything kind of had to crumble last year for us to find and rebuild this new life,
mm-hmm.
so to speak,
mm-hmm.
a new existence. And so people are struggling and they need some answers. And I think that's why it's just crazy right now. It's great though. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry they're suffering. Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry they're suffering, but you know.
No, I mean, the integrity of it all is also intriguing in the sense that you have to have such a level of trust for people to give the bad news as well as the good news, you know? And do you kind of set the stage for the circumstances that can lead up to whatever the good or the bad outcome could possibly be? Because I feel like based on our conversations and my dialogue with you, that these are all things that are out there in the ether, and they are possibilities should you decide to follow certain courses of action, or if you pivot just a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, that'll change everything completely. Is that accurate?
It is. So when I'm giving you the whole picture, that whole picture comes with a bunch of different possibilities, as you say, and
mm-hmm.
and options. and potential outcomes. So we talk about the potential outcomes. I can't really dictate which outcome is going to happen. I mean, I can see if you're I can see the outcome of this if you stay on this path.
Right.
And I illuminate that in I don't make things negative, but I'm not Pollyanna. If I don't see it, I don't say it. Right. I'm, you know, very direct, yet very compassionate. But I don't make things negative because it doesn't have to be. It's really about choices and action and inner introspection, learning more about who you are, how you're wired, what you need to heal and release as well to get you where you want to go or to accept what you need to accept and that whole the whole journey that comes with that. So I try to keep things a little more positive because it really is ultimately the case. I did have, when I was very young, one of my initial teachers said to me, she said, Julie, if you ever get a reading and someone tells you someone's going to die, you get up and you leave. She said, because no one should tell you things like that because it's playing God and they might be wrong.
Mm.
So that was my first lesson in integrity.
Right.
And you can get a, like I've had a feeling of when something was going to happen. I've had some dreams about some people and you just keep it to yourself.
Mm.
You just keep it to yourself.
That's heavy too.
A little bit, yeah.
That's interesting.
But yet it also helped me because my father was sick for some time before he passed and I was going back home every month to see him, and I would tune in and say, okay, am I going to see him again? Am I going to see him again? And I would always know, and I was never wrong. And then the last time, right before my last trip, I asked myself, when I left Wichita, that one of the last times I said, okay, am I going to see him again? And I got, yes, but he might not see you, but I'll see him. And yet it was able to be, it worked out where he was still present and able to recognize me that very last time. But then I knew that that was the last time.
Oh, boy. Well,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
but it helped me. It really helped me
awesome.
To kind of know what
to
do.
That's really
I didn't ask too much because I know there was only so much I could do.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, I mean, you're so attached to that. You don't, you can't always trust what you're getting.
Well, you know, what's also interesting about your gift is, and what I find so empowering about it is you give people, you know, I'll just use myself as an example. You've given me you put me in the driver's seat of my own destiny from the standpoint that I have a deeper trust in my intuition. Based on our conversations, you've kind of illuminated, as you say, the presence of individuals that will try to be a part of my life or my progression in business that may or may not have to be there. And also
and that may or may not be helpful.
Correct. And to, when I feel that, to trust that, whether it be good or bad. And I think that's, if it's happening for me, I know for sure it's gotta be happening for other people where they feel just a lot more confident in the decisions they make that impact the unknown. And you know, as you said, last year was such a transitional period for people. There's a lot of question marks out there that can only be answered by making decisions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't make decisions when faced with that unknown. So now, you know, you give people potentially the confidence to stare the unknown in the face and make a decision and kind of let everything manifest as a result. And I think that's super cool.
Thank you. That's a big part of why I love doing this, because one of the biggest things that comes out of this for people is a better, a deeper understanding of themselves, of their own gifts, and their own confidence even grows out of this whole process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ideally, you would never need me. Ultimately, you'll learn all this yourself and have more confidence in yourself, but you might just need a little insight here and there. But that's what I love, because you really get a stronger sense of self. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much about me showing you all these things I know and how fabulous I am. It's about me showing you me holding up the mirror and showing you who you are.
Mm-hmm. Ah, interesting. And you mentioned your teacher where you learned that first gift of, what was it?
Intuition.
Well, she really wasn't my teacher. She was just a psychic that I knew growing up. It was a dear friend. And so I just use her as my teacher because I paid attention to what she would say.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. How many teachers or mentors have you had throughout the process of you as you continue to grow your skill and learn further and further?
It's a good question, Jeff. I've had them along the way also because one of my biggest jobs in this work is my own discipline and my own practice. Mm-hmm. And because I have to be clear and grounded and be walk my walk, talk my talk, work on my own stuff so I can help others do it too. Mm-hmm. And so my teachers have been those kind of teachers that have helped me with that journey through the years. Mm-hmm. And now my teachers are now more everybody else, and the reflection they're showing me and my own experiences. Okay, this is what I'm so stuck on, or this is repeating, or this is really working. So now life is my teacher more than individuals have been, but I've had a lot of individuals and readings and studies and things like that that have helped me. I mean, I've been studying this stuff since, gosh, I was, you know, early 20s.
Wow.
A long time. Let me just say, since nobody knows my age here. For a long time, so.
That's cool. And yeah. As a clairvoyant, do you need your own clairvoyant or somebody that can
read
you?
Oh, sure, because you get really so attached to what, to your own situations. Yeah. And, you know, I get inklings for myself, of course, but if there's something I'm really attached to, I call a friend. I have a couple of friends that are gifted as well. I say, hey, what do you get on this? What do you get on that? And, yeah, we do that for each other.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to read for yourself sometimes. You know, I use my intuition and my own ability as a guide with my work and stuff every day. But for more personal things, I definitely need some insight.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Well, I think that's huge. That's a huge sign of growth and discipline on your part to recognize that, you know, even within the realm of your profession on a personal level, you still need coaching and guidance.
Oh, yeah.
And all that stuff to kind of get out of your own way and, you know, create a path for yourself as well while you spend so much time doing it for others.
Yeah. Man, you know, we all need to feed and be fed. As, right. You know, feed me, feel me. Yeah, exactly. Feed me, feel me.
That's so cool. Do you ever find a time, like when you get done with a reading, say it's like a really heavy reading, mm-hmm. where you have to sort of cleanse yourself of that energy?
Yes. Very much so.
What's that process like?
Well, this might sound a little strange hearing it audially, but I'll explain it. So I do a lot of, I don't know where y'all want to go with this.
Take
it all the way.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So a big part of my practice is working with energies from the higher power. Mm-hmm. Okay. Some see God in their own way. I feel, because I'm so kinesthetic, I feel God is the highest vibration that exists. It's an energy. So I call that highest energy into me and it clears me and cleanses me. I call it into people as well. That's how I quote pray. Uh-huh. And it's really about the calling in the energies and changing the energies of a situation and of me. Mm. So I do that. A lot of times when I'm doing something like that, I'll move, I'll like rock back and forth or rotate because it happens automatically, but it moves the energy through me to clear me. A lot of times, well, usually when I'm reading for someone, I doodle.
Oh.
It's funny. It tends to be circles. And sometimes they change their pattern, but because that keeps the energy flowing in the reading as well as through me.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, if I'm having a challenging conversation with someone that's not professional, that, you know, I doodle because it just keeps everything flowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Salt baths help me a lot too.
Sure.
I also have an energy healer that I use, and she's great. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. So I didn't know if you want to go on that spiritual path,
no.
But to
like
me,
you.
That's the it's the energy of that vibration that I work with and I call in, and because it moves stuff out and through you and through other people. And
yeah. I feel like that's an important piece going into the spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
I didn't know
like
where you guys wanted to go.
No, because we love hearing all about that.
Well, and I do that with people that I work with. I do it with my friends. Yeah. I do it with my family. I just do that automatically. I do it when I'm walking my dog. You know, I do that automatically. It just kind of keeps everything off of you. But sometimes it's hard to shake. One really good thing, little tip, is one of the best ways to clear yourself is to take a 20-minute nap.
Mm-hmm.
It totally resets you.
Really?
Yeah. Or if you're just in a really bad space and you don't know what to do next with the situation or something, just go lay down.
That's so counterintuitive.
For someone who is active and focused and driven and pushing, yeah, sure.
Yeah, the last thing I'd want to do to create that is to stop moving. Mm-hmm. So that's...
You just got to reset it because sometimes when you're in that muck like that, you're so covered with it, you cannot see anything else. Mm-hmm. You can't see solutions, and so you just go lay down. And sometimes even I can feel my energy centers kind of moving, and it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Awesome. Yeah.
So take 20-minute naps, guys.
Yeah.
Just 20 minutes. Don't get too comfortable so you don't sleep too long.
I would assume that most people that seek your gift are open to hearing whatever it is that you read. Has it ever, I guess, backfired where you started walking somebody down a path and they were just fighting you tooth and nail on what you were reading? Does that happen?
I can feel when there's some resistance to what I'm saying.
Yeah, resistance.
And people are never rude about it, but I just tell them it's not really up to me to I've had to let go of being attached to what they hear and if they receive it well. Mm. That was a practice for me because I want the, you know. So as one of my actually medical practitioners said, how did he put it? You want to help them yet with detachment, you know, compassion with detachment. So right. I can't be attached to how they take it.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I mean, they know I'm coming from the highest place, and if they're not ready to hear it, that's up to them too. They have that choice.
Sure.
So.
You give people the power. We were just talking about the power of, or the gift of fear, mm-hmm. that book, which I'll throw in my queue uh-huh. here pretty soon. I'll just add it to the list. But it seems like you really, really give people the gift of choice.
Ooh, that's a nice way to put it. I like that.
These are all the, you know, now it's in your hands. Do with it what you will, mm-hmm. but this is what I see. Seems to be the summary of how a session ends up, mm-hmm. you know.
And not everybody's comfortable with that with having choices either.
No, man, that shit's hard. Because
then it becomes your problem. You got to take care of it. It's not else's fault.
It's crazy. Do people, because I see it in fitness all the time, mm-hmm. people resist ownership of their circumstance. Now with this new gift of information and options and choices, do you see that as well?
For sure.
Is there like this revelation that occurs in a reading where people are like, holy shit, it's not my fault, you know, mm-hmm. all these things are happening to me, and then there's a point in the reading where they're like, you help them come full circle with the idea that yes, like because as a byproduct of the choices that you make, mm-hmm. this is what the universe is reciprocating.
It's always offered, but not always received.
Okay.
But if somebody comes to me with the same situation over and over and over again, that's when I'm like, okay, I can't help them because they're not ready yeah. to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, and that's certainly their choice too.
Yeah.
But I had if you want a little anecdote here, I have a client in LA. Years ago, he had the opportunity to invest in this company that had the potential to be very lucrative. And he didn't have a good feeling at all about the partner at all, but the money potential was huge. So he followed the money, as most people do.
Sure.
And which turned out to be very good for him. In a short amount of time, he had 300 some employees. He was bringing in a tremendous amount of income. And yet, because of the partner, he almost landed in jail and the company's gone.
Wow.
So that's when I first met him, when he was going through all of that legal stuff. And so over the years, he's called me regularly, and what's happened as a result of our working together is now he trusts his own guidance more and more and more. It's layers of things we talk about now. First, it was more on the surface. Now, it's more layers of him that he's getting to and more information he's getting about the players around him. You know, he'll go into a meeting and he'll call me and say, hey, what's going to happen here? And, you know, I give him what I got. And
mm-hmm.
But now he doesn't make a big decision without getting a clear yes. And if he's not real sure what he's getting, he'll call me, and I usually just end up validating what he already knows.
Oh, right,
you know,
yeah.
We've worked together so long. But it's totally changed how he does business.
Wow.
That's super interesting. So you can do a reading via telephone. It doesn't have to be in person.
No, I usually do them over the phone.
Really?
Because most of my people aren't here.
That's interesting. Yeah. Does it work the same either way, like in person compared to telephone?
Same. Absolutely.
Wow.
Now, the more I read for you, the more I'm more familiar I am with you. So there's more places we can go. But you can ask me about someone.
Yeah.
And I don't typically intrude on other people.
Yeah.
But if it's directly related to a situation you're currently dealing with, then mm-hmm. I can give you some insight about their role in it so that you know what you might need to do to address this or to manage it a little differently.
Wow. That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Where are you at plant medicine? And where I'm going with this, a couple of years ago, I did a retreat, and we had a shaman-guided psilocybin experience, a mushroom trip. And, you know, over the course of 3 hours, you know, I was able to work my way through, you know, what I would say is roughly 15 years of bullshit, you know, like the deep issues that either you ignore or they weigh on you and they inhibit your ability to move forward and do the things that you really want to do. Does that, or has that, you know, that chemical freedom that you get from, you know, plants and mushrooms and ayahuasca and those things. Have you played with any of that along the way to help free up your intuition and help you be deeper within yourself? Because everybody I know that plays in that universe, that's their medium to help get to what you're talking about.
No, I haven't. I haven't done that. But what I've become more and more aware of is the impact that foods are having on my own energy field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like...
We're, like just food?
Yes.
Okay.
It was funny. I was joking with you. I said, well, you know, I don't have a glass of wine during the week because it affects, you know, my clarity a little bit. You know, I can still push through it, but it's just, to me, it's just an integrity thing. But it sure. just, it impacts you.
Yeah.
So no, not that specifically, but I'm becoming more and more aware of how some of these things, how it makes you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what are you most in tune with in terms of like what food affects your ability to read
negatively?
Yeah, sure.
Sugar.
Okay.
But probably also, alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. And coffee. Coffee has a different reaction on me. Coffee turns me into an evil person. And I get this like creative burst initially. And then about a couple hours later, I get a hangover.
Yeah.
And I can't find anything. And I feel like, it's funny, I used to feel like there were pins and needles on my energy field. And this one practitioner that I know, she said, I just read how they said that coffee creates spikes in your aura. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it was an interesting correlation because that's how it makes me feel.
That's interesting.
So I don't do that at all.
And then what helps?
If I ate really cleanly,
yeah,
forever or like for months at a time, I would probably recognize even more what would impact me.
Sure.
But I'm lazy.
Yeah.
I'm just not that disciplined.
So as you dial it in, what foods have you noticed help
me
with your?
Well,
eating?
I've been a vegetarian since I was 14.
Okay.
Okay.
That's more choice. So I can't tell you the impact of meat. I will say, though, sometimes my body does need it, so I still don't eat it, but it grounds me.
Mm.
That kind of, the denser proteins ground me.
Sure.
Drinking a lot of water helps me a lot because it also calms your central nervous system.
Mm. Right.
So that when I have a day when I feel really fuzzy, I drink a lot of water.
Mm.
It just sort of seems to move everything through.
Part of a it's kind of cleansing as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the days I eat more clean, I just notice a difference.
Sure.
My mood is lighter.
Yep.
You know.
Huh. It's funny that.
And I love sugar, unfortunately. So.
Well, no, it's interesting because you know we spend a lot of time on this show, you know, having these kind of discussions with people that play in the fitness arena, and all the things that affect you on a physical level seem to affect you on a spiritual, universal, intuitive level as well, where, you know, I could see that, you know, somebody who doesn't have your gift, you know, their intuition could be muddied, since we're using that word a lot today, just based on their nutritional habits.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they say that, you know, the cleaner you eat, the clearer you're able to think. But I think that if you take it one step further, that also plays into, you know, your ability to acknowledge your intuition and, you know, follow
exactly.
it thereafter.
And why are you able to think more clearly? And what
right.
else that,
sure.
does that else impact?
Exactly.
Exactly. One of the things I talk about when I tell people about using their intuition is becoming more in the moment, more present.
Yeah.
And one of the ways you do that, well, when you're more present and more in the moment, you can feel your own inner guidance more automatically and more regularly and more instantly. And one of the things I talk about is your reactions to foods. I mean, people with food allergies are really aware of this.
Okay.
You know, because if your body's reacting to a food, your body's in stress mode, so
mm-hmm.
you can't be as present because your body's mm-hmm. reacting to that. And
right.
So it's very similar to what you're
yeah.
that whole process you're talking about.
I would have never thought that. I mean, it makes perfect sense, and that's an easy dot
yeah.
to connect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to take it to the level and the world that you play in, I think that's pretty interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And for somebody trying to get more like in tune with themselves, mm-hmm. like how big do dreams play into like somebody's life? How real are they, or do they
Yeah, how valid are dreams?
How valid are dreams?
I'll give you my opinion of that. I can't, you know, I can't say that I'm an expert.
Is this kind of like what diet should I follow? It's very opinion driven.
Possibly. Yeah, it is. Because some people doesn't feel, I mean, some there's, you know, psychology behind dreams and there's more metaphysics behind dreams.
Okay. Yep.
I believe that dreams can do a couple of things. I believe they can show you where you are on a subconscious level with something you're processing or experiencing. Uh-huh. It can show you when you're in fear about something or when you're working through something. It can illuminate that.
Yeah.
I believe it can be informative as well. I highly believe in the power of dreams. Sometimes they can be prophetic.
Yeah.
And if you're like a fear, dreams are often about something you're experiencing in your reality that is obviously fearful for you. So it can be informational, like recognize what your dream is telling you, especially if it's a repeated dream, so you can get the message. It's more abstract. They're metaphorical. They're symbolic.
Yeah.
Like I've had dreams when somebody was going to pass, and it comes through in a rather in more of a metaphorical way. It's not real obvious.
Yeah.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
What does that metaphor look like?
In this particular case, because it truly varies with each dream and each bit of information.
Mm-hmm.
But the person was elderly and was very sick.
Sure.
So this was not a surprise. But I had a dream about her. I walked into her house and she was laying in bed with her mate who had died 20 years prior.
Ah.
So.
Got it.
And it had a certain resonance to it. Like visiting dreams, if you dream about someone who's passed, it feels different when it's actually a visit from that person or when it's just a dream about that person.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, we can go really deep into this,
So to put that into context, my dad passed, it's 2018, 10 years ago.
Okay.
Right. Now that you've brought that to consciousness, there is a very distinguishable difference between when he visits me and when I just have a dream about like a memory of him, you know. I've never put that into context before. But they do feel different.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Have you noticed when the dreams are of that are a visit, does he speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Like we have a session.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
We have
okay.
a conversation. And cool. It's usually us sitting on a curb. I couldn't tell you what's around us, but we're sitting on the street, on a sidewalk, just hanging out.
Yeah, they just feel different. I can't really explain it. Something you have to experience and find the contrast.
In the dreams about him, it's more third person.
Yeah, a little more removed.
Yeah.
Like a story.
Yeah, exactly.
Watching a movie.
That's super interesting.
Yeah. So I've never consciously processed the difference between the two. You know, I've always woken up and just been like, oh, I dreamt about my dad last night.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like, I've never put into words, oh, no, dad visited me last night versus there's the difference between the two. So that's crazy.
That is interesting because I've been wondering about that because before I go to bed, I always try to watch something like positive or motivational. Mm-hmm. So it influences my thoughts or dreams in that manner. Because I find it like when I watch like a movie that's like an action-packed, stressful type of movie, then I'll think of something like, or I'll have a dream that's crazy and like, what in the world? Why was I thinking that during my
Game
dream?
Game of Thrones have infiltrated my dreams a lot.
That's the thing. I was like, are these dreams that are like actually telling me something, or is it just because I consumed some type of content before I went to bed and like that's just on my conscience?
Do you have
one
in mind that you want to ask about?
Let me see. Do I have one in mind? I haven't had a dream.
Or something else, in fact, if that have any question you might have.
Yeah, bro, let's do a reading on the show.
Let's do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, might as well. okay, so today, my sister, she hit me up with a text saying she had a premonition and said about she feared for my safety, especially during travel, for whatever reason, and saying, like, be attentive of your surroundings. And I'm a guy I vlog a lot with my camera. She said, be very attentive, like, don't worry so much about your video, but I had a very disturbing dream about you last night.
Does she typically have prophetic dreams?
Not that I know of.
Oh, maybe she just says doesn't tell you.
She says she had to get off her chest in a way, but she says she's been having premonitions over the past, I guess, past year or so.
Things can activate in people.
Yeah. And I was like, I was wondering, I called, I wonder what caused that, you know?
Let me ask you, Jeff, when you heard that, did you get a sensation?
more of like, I got one of the sensations, I guess. I sort of did. Like,
what was it? Did it feel like truth? Do you know, have you felt the difference between that knowing and when it's just information?
To me, it didn't feel like truth. Okay. It felt more just like, it felt to me more like a fearful thought in a way, if that makes any sense.
It does. It very much does.
Yeah, like more of like a fearful thought of this, like, oh, maybe there's truth to it because what's going on in the news, what's happening, but I didn't feel like nervous or anything. I was just more of like a thought of like, huh, I wonder where that came from in a way. So I didn't really, it's not one of those things I accepted as a truth to me. It was just more like, oh, that was an interesting thought.
Okay. What I'm feeling about it is that it's more like if you feel like videoing something, if you kind of get the inkling not to, don't do it. Mm. Pay attention to that. She's maybe giving you a heads up to pay attention to your own inner guidance of that a little bit. For whatever reason, be it, it might upset someone, you might fall off a rock, you might twist your ankle, it just, you know, you might miss out on some really cool thing happening because you're videoing. Your periphery gets blocked out when you're videoing.
Okay.
For you sometimes, because you're very kinesthetic too. And so sometimes your video is your focus, which is cool. A lot of things come out of your videoing and your art and all of that. But sometimes you can miss the periphery, the experience, the sentient experience that you would have yourself. So maybe if there's a way you can merge that both a little bit, just be more aware of what's going on around you. I'm totally digressing from what your sister said.
Yeah.
But be a little more aware of what's going on around you. Kinesthetically, audially, open up all of your senses, not just your vision while you're doing the video. You can practice that. You're grounded enough, you can practice that. And it'll just heighten your experience.
Interesting.
And then you'll get more ideas for your video, for your life, for your business. You might get some clarity on, you have some questions about your business and some doubts, which is normal with a new business. And opening yourself up this way will help you get those answers and those opportunities and that insight and those other ideas that can pop through that you can't always see because you're so, your focus can be a little bit rigid when you're videoing because you're focused on the mark, which is why you video. You know, there's a beauty in that too. But if you do it a lot, Jeff, you might miss out.
Interesting. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. Appreciate that.
Sure.
Interesting insight.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. That's nuts. That makes a lot of sense.
So. Too bad you don't have a call-in show.
We might add that to the
list.
Yeah,
add that to the list.
Yeah.
These are like, these are the shows I love the most because we've had Tonya Rekla on here.
She's an energy person.
Yeah,
as well.
She's all about energy reading. Yeah.
Metaphysical. That was the word I was looking for. You know, a little ways ago back. How else does it manifest for you? Like when you close your eyes, do you, because I know you feel the direction that then comes out of you in guidance and clarity. But when you close your eyes, can you no shit see the picture that you're painting?
Sometimes. So if psychic ability comes through knowing, hearing, feeling, or vision for everybody.
Yeah.
For everybody has at least one of those. Some of us have more than one. I have all four, but some are much weaker than the others.
Okay.
So like that message I told you about the family that was going to have the tragedy, that was audio. I heard that specifically in a very specific tone in my right ear. That was unique.
Or that guy
that doesn't
at the
happen
bar.
Very
was
yeah
that,
exactly
was that
the guy that I told you before the recording about the gentleman who had an interesting life on the side.
I'm telling you, man, like, I don't know if I could walk around tapped in the way that
well,
you
first
are
I wasn't sure if I was really hearing that. I'm like, did I really just hear that? Like, dude, really?
You could tell that story on air if you want to.
I don't know that people would believe
I think it's fucking hilarious.
Okay, so since you're cussing, so I was some years ago, I was sitting with a friend who was in town with her company, and I was talking to a gentleman from her work, and we were talking a lot about his wife and kids and what they like to do and their activities, and he was a very nice man. I mean, wasn't at all intrusive or uncomfortable. But then all of a sudden I heard in that same voice that I just mentioned, this man is into hardcore porn and nobody knows about it. and it was shocking to me, and I had to keep my face straight because I wasn't really sure if that's what I heard. And then when I went home and I processed all that, I said, no, I really did hear that. I'm not sure why I needed to know that, but I really did hear that. But sometimes I can also see images in my mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
The knowing and the feeling are like 100% for me. The other two are a lot weaker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, are you... Wow.
But the more you use it, the more it works for you.
Okay.
So your level of intuition and your psychic ability is related to your... Your level of intuition specifically is related to your level of fear. Or opposite of that is trust. So the more you trust it and yourself, the more it will work for you. And the more you use it, the more you'll trust it, and the more loudly and clearly it will come through.
Okay.
Wow.
So for you, your feeling and your knowing are leaps and bounds above hearing and seeing.
Yeah, seeing, it's a hearing, knowing, and then seeing is third, and then hearing is fourth.
Is there things that you incorporate in your practice to bring those other two up?
No.
Or is that even worth your time?
No.
At this point
good,
in the game?
I can never sleep if I did.
Okay. That's a good question.
That's a good question.
It requires that much work to even...
Well, as you evolve yourself, mm-hmm, and you raise your own vibration, which is part of my daily practice, all of these gifts we all have, all of us, amplify. They accelerate and they grow and they expand.
Okay.
So these things have expanded, like the hearing and the seeing have expanded as I've expanded.
Sure. Okay.
And so is actually all four. They've just amplified and accelerated.
Yeah.
That's just part of what happens when you're on a journey of that kind of growth, you know, anybody, you guys, anybody.
Yeah. So you're learning about this stuff and the practice of intuition and reading and stuff like that, what does that education look like? Because it's got to be way more... I'm dumbing this down because, not to sound super ignorant, but it's got to be way above, you know, spending time in the personal growth and development area of Barnes and Noble. You know what I mean? Like, how has your education transpired over the years?
Me personally?
Yeah.
My spiritual practice.
Okay.
And I think that has been my education, because the less fear you have, like I said, the more this comes through.
Mm-hmm. Now,
to me, psychic ability is an advanced form of intuition. Everybody's intuitive, not everybody's psychic. So because I have that ability, it just has expanded with my own spiritual evolution. But I think sometimes, like when I had that guy, that weird thing about the guy in the porn, that was the first time that it ever happened to me. This was probably 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago. And I feel that was showing me an advancement because that had never happened before. So it had to be such an extreme kind of obnoxious thing I would notice, you know. Like, hey, this can happen now, you know. So it comes to you sort of in that way too.
So it's not...
But it's really about your own inner journey that helps it expand.
Sure.
That's my practice.
So it hasn't been, you know, a textbook journey.
No, not at all.
You know, an academic.
I've had to learn had to learn as I go.
Yeah, it's not an academic practice.
But you're learning about yourself.
Yeah.
So that's been somewhat academic in my spiritual practice and the metaphysics I studied and the things I've studied over the years. So that's been my study.
Yeah.
Learning about yourself, because these gifts you guys all have, we all have our aspects of ourselves. So more you learn about you and more self-aware you are, it just by default, the more you learn about that.
Wow. Is there a specific routine that you follow to continue to grow in those areas, like on a daily basis?
It's so changed over the years, Jeff. That's a good question. It's changed a lot over the years. The material I used to study, I don't study as much. It's great. I just do more of the energy movement, like I mentioned before, with calling in the light and calling and moving the energy through. I do more of that, and paying more attention to my own energies and my own emotions, because that's an indicator of what I might need to work on or clear out or address.
Interesting.
It feels a little narcissistic, but you know.
Yeah.
But.
That's cool. Do you find out that does working out help you evolve?
Helps me ground a lot.
Really?
Yeah, because that's why I do CrossFit, dude, because I'm so ADD, you know? I don't have the focus. So then I also do yoga, but that helps me get out of my monkey mind, because I have a real problem with monkey mind. A lot of people do, but you know, I'm very in my head, and that keeps me more on the ground.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. What's the difference between like your sensations or feelings that you get between like a CrossFit workout and a yoga workout? Like, what are the benefits from each of the ones that you've done?
That's a good question. Yoga helps me really ground because it gets me into the breath and the constant movement of the more gentle movement. CrossFit helps me blow off the anxiety and get out of my head and into the earth and out of my head more and get out of the focus of the chaos and into that short wad, you know.
So based on your lifestyle, do you choose one or the other on a given day depending on how you're feeling? Is CrossFit where you're at right now and then you kind of do yoga on the side?
Well, I haven't done, I do yoga only once a week now because I have a shoulder issue. But it used to be CrossFit 3 days a week, yoga 2 to 3 without fail.
Okay.
I have to regiment it or I won't do it.
But I mean, that's really balanced. That's
but now balanced. I do 3 CrossFit and 1 yoga.
Okay.
And then I walk my dog this time of year. Walking on the green belt really moves all this through. I mean, I'm in a totally different mood when I come back from that.
That's cool.
We're gonna have a follow-up episode with a guy who's been on the show in the past, Mike Bledsoe. And he, speaking of walking on the green belt, he's a huge proponent of being barefoot. And I'm just diving into some articles about being connected to the earth in that way, directly. Is that kind of what you get out of being out in nature?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a city girl. I'm not walking barefoot where dogs would pee.
All right.
But to a degree, I mean, I have my dog. We're walking on the green belt. I'm paying attention to the nature. I'm calling in the energies when I'm doing it just moves it through.
Okay.
Yes, if I stood on the earth barefoot, I'm sure it would make such a difference, but I'm too much of a princess to do that. It's not happening.
That's awesome.
Do animals...
Animals ground you big time.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So they do release different type of energy. You don't get readings off of like people with animals?
No. I don't read animals. Okay. No. I have friends that do that, but no. But it's you know, if you think about it, animals really ground you because you're always looking at the ground. You're looking at the dog or the cat or you're playing. You're on the floor playing with them. Sure. So they keep you more connected to the ground. When I lost my first dog some years ago, I noticed a huge difference. I had a hell of a time staying grounded.
Really?
I do anyway have a hard time staying grounded, but without him around, it was really hard.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know people are really connected to animals, and I feel like...
Oh, yeah. That's just my pal.
Yeah.
When they can have... the lady you said was an energy person here, she could probably tell you this. Some animals in particular really can create energetic bonds with you, and so they do ground you more, and you are more connected. Some, I think, are more spiritual guides, and some are just more playmates, too.
Yeah.
So she could probably speak to that more, but...
Okay.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Wild.
I love this stuff.
I could talk about this all day.
That's why you're here. Yeah, for sure. We'll let you get out of here on that note. But before we let you go, I want you to answer 2 questions on any level. You're probably going to answer them on the spiritual level if my intuition is correct.
Well, now I'm under pressure to do that, so I validate you. I have to validate you now, Mike.
You do the reading. I just listen. Each and every day, what do you do to feed yourself and kickstart your practice? And then the follow-on to that, in your daily practice, what do you do to fuel yourself so that you create that energetic carryover into the next day?
That's a good question. Okay. So feeding myself is the practice I mentioned. When I do this every morning and I get quiet, I play music and I move the energies through. That's how I feed myself.
Okay.
And it's also how I fuel myself, but I fuel myself in my 20-minute naps, my connecting with my friends and my family, my close circle, that fuels me. And yet the more solitude that I need from time to time helps me fuel because I get so easily exhausted. Yeah, like in big crowds, I get easily exhausted. So that's the quiet time does that too.
Okay.
I love that. And then where can this community go support you and even reach out to you to get readings or do anything like that?
Well, they can email me or they can call me. I have a website that's about my intuition work, juliefarho.com.
Okay.
And my you can also email me through that, julie@juliefarho.com.
Okay.
Perfect.
Or through you guys.
And you're on social media as well? Or
I'm on Facebook.
On Facebook?
Yeah, I don't post much on Facebook. I'm lazy about that. Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I have a Clear Insight, @juliefarho. My name of my company is Clear Insight.
Clear Insight?
Because that's what I do. Awesome. I give you Clear Insight.
Awesome. We'll link that
there
all
it
up.
Is.
Cool.
Thank you for everything.
Well, thank you. This was fun.
Appreciate
it.
Appreciate the reading.
Yeah. Anytime. Anytime.
And yeah, guys, make sure you get out there and support everything that, that Julie is putting out into the universe. And if you have any questions, you know, the fact that she's able to provide such clear insight over the phone, that just makes her reachability that much easier to access. So, you know, reach out to Julie if you have any questions about or need clarity in terms of the next step you need to take in your life, or, you know, maybe she can just help you, you know, clear the water for yourself. Mm-hmm. I know she's done that for me in the past, and, you know, I look forward to being the master of my fate, so to speak, as a result of her guidance. So she's a trusted friend, and she definitely has, she's a master of her craft. So support that, and until next time, guys, feed me, fuel me.
And that'll do it for this episode with our special guest, Julie Farha. If you want to check out everything that Julie has going and support her company, Clear Insight, please go to the full show notes on feedmefuelme.com. Also, be sure to connect with us on social media, including Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter at feedmefuelme. We would love to hear from each and every one of you. If you found this episode inspiring in any way, please leave a rating and a comment on iTunes so we can continue on this journey together. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and family on social media, including Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, or any other social platforms that you use. We really appreciate you spending your time with us today and allowing us to join you on your journey. We would love to hear your feedback on this episode, as well as guests and topics for future episodes. To end this episode, we would love to leave you with a quote by Sonia Chiquette. Intuition doesn't tell you what you want to hear. It tells you what you need to hear. Thank you again for joining us, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Way to make it to the end of the show. As always, go to Shrug Collective over at iTunes, give us a 5-star review, positive comment, and hit thrivemarket.com/feedme to get that great deal on awesome groceries. See you next time.